from Tidbits for Monday, October 19th, 2009. This is Tracking Down Snow Leopard's Apple Events Bug by Matt Newberg. No major system upgrade is without bugs, but it's surprising to find breakage in deep mechanisms that are crucial to the workings of the system as a whole and have operated perfectly well for many years. Surely one thinks Apple wouldn't mess with such a mechanism on the grounds that A, it's crucial, and B, it isn't broken, so it's better not to fix it. Yet such is apparently the case with an Apple event bug that I isolated and reported to Apple on October 6th. What are Apple events, and why should you care about them? For a complete answer with some really great diagrams, read the online book chapter I wrote some time ago on this topic. Briefly, Apple events are a messaging mechanism that allows one running process to communicate with another. Apple events are the underlying basis of application scriptability on Mac OS X. They are what allows AppleScript to work. For those who have forgotten, I wrote a book about AppleScript. Every AppleScript command directed at an application, asking the Finder for a folder's name or asking iTunes for the tracks in an album, is an Apple event. But Apple events are far more fundamental than that. Even something as simple as opening a document by dropping its icon onto an application's icon in the Finder relies on an Apple event. To be honest, although I'm proud of my detective work on this bug, I didn't have to think very hard, and my role in the story was rather passive. Here's what happened. On October 2nd, someone on the RB AppScript mailing list, which discusses RB AppScript, a bridge between the Ruby scripting language and AppleScript scriptability, posted a note complaining that his script, which drives iTunes rather intensively, worked perfectly well on Leopard, but occasionally came to a grinding halt on Snow Leopard, with an Apple event timed out error. Then, on October 4th, I noticed that someone on the AppleScript users mailing list was complaining that his script, which drives Microsoft Entourage, worked perfectly well on Leopard, but occasionally came to a grinding halt on Snow Leopard with an Apple event timed out error. At first, I had been inclined to propose a theory that maybe some external force, such as a bad scripting addition, might be messing things up somehow. This was a reasonable guess because the Snow Leopard transition to 64-bit has, in fact, caused existing 32-bit scripting additions to become troublesome. But the RB AppScript user, Nick Forge, who deserves a great deal of credit in this tale, was able to reproduce the problem even when all third-party scripting additions were removed from his system. Moreover, he provided an extremely short, simple script that just looped so as to do one simple thing over and over, which he said would elicit the problem. So I tried his script on my machine. At first, I couldn't reproduce the problem. But it turned out that this was just because I wasn't letting the script run long enough. When I allowed the script to run for 20 or 30 seconds, I got the same error message he did. Now my eyes were opened. We knew that the problem was not due to any particular scriptable application, because it didn't matter whether you targeted Entourage or iTunes. We knew that AppleScript was not the problem, because RB AppScript isn't AppleScript. They both use the underlying Apple events mechanism, but in different ways. And we knew that a perfectly good Apple event, if sent repeatedly enough times, would eventually error out. But what did eventually mean? To find out, I wrote a script. Now, in theory, my script should just run forever, repeatedly sending a single innocuous Apple event, one that asks the Finder to report how many windows it has open. Indeed, if you run it in Script Editor on Leopard, it will run forever, and you'll have to force quit Script Editor. So don't run it on Leopard. I'll present a safer version of the script in a moment. But in AppleScript Editor, the renamed script editor, on Snow Leopard, after about 60 seconds, the script freezes for an additional minute because the Apple event timed out error is occurring and then reports the error. Now, the clever part is the script also puts up a dialogue reporting how many times we sent our Apple event before the error occurred. And here's the really interesting part. In most cases, the reported number is somewhere around 65,000. In fact, in some cases, it's extremely close to 65,535. And that fact is highly suspicious because 65,535 is 1 less than 2 to the 16th power, the size of a short integer, a 16-bit value, in computer science. It's as if behind the scenes, something other than the script is counting our Apple events and stumbling at the point where the count resets to 0. Now, at that point, I wrote a safer version of the script and send it to Apple. The version is safer because if by chance it gets past the 65,535 event limit, it'll come to a stop in good order all by itself. Now, you can try it on Leopard and on Snow Leopard and see the difference for yourself. Another feature of this version is the with timeout line, which shortens the frozen moment when our Apple event errors out from 60 seconds, the default, to 5 seconds. After I had sent the script to Apple, I posted it on the AppleScript users list, and a particularly knowledgeable user, Hamish Sanderson, who is, not coincidentally, the author of RB AppScript, wrote back and said, "I bet I know what's counting in the background. It's the increment of the return ID." And that was the final piece of the puzzle. Here's what Hamish was saying. When a process sends an Apple event that expects a reply, there's no telling when the reply will come back. So there needs to be a way to associate the reply when it does come with the original Apple event. So when you send the Apple event, you specify a return ID, a short integer that identifies the Apple event. Now, the reply is given the same return ID, so it can be matched up with the original Apple event. However, it is more common not to assign your own return ID. Instead, you give a special return ID value called kAutoGenerateReturnID. And this means that the system itself should dynamically assign the Apple event a return ID. And how does the system do this? By adding 1 to the last return ID that it assigned. Thus, eventually, after enough Apple events have been sent, a moment will come where the next return ID in the sequence is hexadecimal FFFF, also known as decimal 65,535. In a short signed integer, that value is the same as minus 1, and minus 1 is K auto generate return ID. This fact evidently is confusing Snow Leopard in a way that no previous system was ever confused since 1991 when Apple events were invented. When Snow Leopard assigns FFFF, minus 1, as the Apple events return ID, it takes this as an invitation to increase the return ID again. So the Apple event goes out with a return ID minus 1, but the reply comes back with the next return ID in the sequence, which is 0. The two return IDs don't match. Thus, the reply can't be associated with the original Apple event. So the sender thinks that no reply has ever come back, and after waiting for a while, gives up and generates the Apple event timed out error. And I have also written a Cocoa application, which repeatedly sends an Apple event and keeps track of the return IDs of both the sent Apple event and the reply, and proves that this account of the bug is correct. The bug sounds minor, but it is really very important because Apple events are crucial to so much of what goes on under the hood in Mac OS X. And in any case, it has caused everyone's scripts to break, whether written in AppleScript, RB AppScript, or anything else that sends Apple events. The underlying Apple Event Manager assigns a new return ID to every Apple event, and so, sooner or later, some Apple event is going to hit the magic FFFF value, and whatever sent that Apple event is going to error out apparently randomly. You may even have seen such random errors on your machine without knowing it. Anyhow, it's an easy bug to understand, and there are already indications that Apple will roll a fix into the Mac OS X 10.6.2 update whenever that comes out. What's hard to understand is how Apple came to inflict breakage on such a fundamental mechanism in the first place. This is Tidbits. To follow links, make comments, read related articles, and subscribe via email, RSS, or Twitter, visit us at tidbits.com. I'm Matt Newberg, and thanks for listening to this little story about how I tracked down an Apple Events bug in Snow Leopard.